cliffcentral.com.
Andy Lenglube, how are you, dude?
Joe. Nice awesome, to see man. You. Good to sit with you. I've actually never sat across from you at an interview.
We were saying just a moment ago that, you know, we've known each other a long time. I kind of watched your career and I think you've kind of seen what I've been up to.
I don't think you can avoid what you've been up to. It's kind of in your face, isn't it?
Well, listen, you've hosted a lot of television shows.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's your thing.
It is. It wasn't always, but it is. I mean, when you go to AFTA and you study to be an actor.
That's where it started, right?
That's where it started. Mm. You study there to be an actor. Presenting is like, it's like the gweem. It's like the cousin nobody likes in the family. Like, oh, you're a presenter?
But
I'm a studied actor.
It's funny you say that because, I mean, you're an actor, so that's why you feel that way.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to be the TV presenter.
I remember, I think it was in the early 2000s when Miss Teen was still popular. And it was a popular answer for the girls when they asked them, so what do you want to do? I want to be a presenter. And it was an accepted answer too. It was, oh, wow, such ambition. Yeah. Such ambition. We can't
wait. What happened to world peace, baby?
Yeah, I know. So it and now it's more of a career than it was before. I mean, before you get in there, you do your thing, you'd be popular, you'd move on long. Now it's not. Now it's a career. Now you can actually be a TV presenter.
Well, since we're talking about this, I actually think it's quite a difficult job. I could never present another person's show. I could never do it. I think that you have to be able to. You know, someone once said to me, why is Proverb or why is Ryan Seacrest so good at doing Idol? And I suppose they talk to me about Idol because I'm on Idols.
Yeah. Right?
And the thing that they do, which nobody really gives them credit for, because they're not up there singing and dancing.
Yeah.
They're not up there trying to get the attention for themselves. They're not a comedian, etc. But the hardest thing that they get right that people don't see is that they're the master of ceremonies. They're like the ringmaster in the circus. They're kind of juggling stuff and making things happen and smoothly transitioning from this to that. You couldn't do these shows without a good presenter. And I mean, when you did X Factor, which, you know, it's been criticized, it's been acclaimed, it's been said good things and bad things in the press, but really to be able to ringmaster a show like that is a very specific skill. And it doesn't get written into the talent spreadsheet.
You can't.
Right?
That's the person. Speaking of X Factor, we actually got a SAFTA nomination. I wish that meant something to me.
Did you get the nomination?
No. The show got the nomination. Okay. Yeah. Nobody gives a shit for the SAFTA's.
Well, do you?
No.
Isn't it really nice, though, to get some recognition, even if you only admit it to yourself quietly?
No. I just think the SAFTA's are the worst example of the kind of nomination that one would want, you know. I think, you know, to have a bunch of peers.
If you won a SAFTA, would you keep the award?
I have won a SAFTA.
Okay, so
for Live, the music show back then. I mean, as a producer and as a presenter.
Do you keep it? Do you put it on display?
Where is it? I think it's at my mom's house.
No, I mean, she's proud,
right? Oh, she's probably proud of it. I look at this thing and I'm like, for me, a SAFTA represents, you know, I can imagine and I can see many a lives and careers, you know, that have ended up with nothing but a SAFTA. I can see a house in Alex somewhere that's beat down with kids that have the SAFTA hanging on the wall and they're like, oh, that's what my dad left. That's what my uncle left. And that's all they left because the industry only gave you a crappy little award that looks as ugly as, you know, God knows what that thing looks
like. But
I mean,
we've all heard the stories of musicians like Joy and,
do you know what I mean?
They end up with no money and
You have a SAFTA hanging around somewhere in the house. So it really represents the bad end of the industry for me. But with that being said, I mean, when you speak, I remember Ryan Seacrest came much later on, because I remember when he started as well. You know, I was an old soul on Ryan Seacrest. Now I think he's one of the best. But I remember Idols under one of my favorite, you know, presenters, which was it Sammy Sabici's name, I think it was. What an amazing dude. That's the dude that I looked up to and looked at a lot when I started out, because I just thought the ease in which he did what he did and the cool and swag in which he did what he did was absolutely amazing.
But, you know, okay, there are a couple of ingredients here, and you've got all of them as well. You have to be the kind of person who has a lot of confidence, because you stand up on stage. You're often the one who starts the show.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you've got to have big balls, because you can't go up there and be, oh, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
And even if you're not sure, you can't let anyone know.
No.
Number two, you have to look like something. You have to be good looking. Like, if you look...
I'm a dude, and Sammy has something about him, didn't he?
But, I mean, if you looked like shit... Yeah. If you were an ugly man,
I'd be working at the bank.
You would not be on television. You admit that, right? Because a lot of people get they're very uncomfortable about this, and they go, "Oh no, well, you know, it's not that I'm good looking. You got to admit you're good looking."
Yeah,
right. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on television, and people wouldn't want to watch you, right? And you have to keep in shape. as a result. You let yourself get out of shape, people are going to say something very quickly.
Hey, Trev, how you doing, Mr. Goombi?
Hey, he's got a show here. You got to be careful. So that's the other thing. Yeah. The third thing is that you really have to be able to think quick because there's a lot that changes.
Oh, yeah.
You've rehearsed a certain show, and then something goes wrong, especially on live television, or something goes right, and you have to go with it.
And there's a constant ear. There's somebody in your ear the whole time as you're going, and they're telling you what to do and how to do it. So as you're speaking, you're processing, you're listening, you're trying to, you know, translate the information that you're hearing as well. I mean, it really is a craft. You know when people think, oh, but you're a person. No, it really is a job and a craft, and it's something that, you know, the best have worked at. I mean, I've had the opportunity of seeing Bonang's very first show when I brought her on to live. I remember when I first saw her and asked her to audition. And I remember
you brought her on to that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I
does she ever say thank you, Andy?
I mean, she does. She should. And I always ask her, and I always, because whenever she gets something big, it's like, oh, I'm so grateful. This is all. And I'm like, you know, when do the thank yous stop?
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I just don't think you. I don't think you can give anybody anything. I think it was what was due to her. It was due to her. She was always going to get there. You know, I just happened to be part of a small collection of the bridge that helped her get over.
Sure.
You know, but I mean, I saw her work. I saw her work from day one when I'd say, okay, stop, don't do anything, just do this. And I saw her build onto what she's been able to do now. And that's what it is. It's just constant work. Being pretty, which is what a lot of the girls now are. You know, you're just pretty and you're on TV. It's not enough. That will run out. Pretty will run out. But talent, work, never.
How much of doing television, because I mean, this is not where I wanted to start talking to you, but we're in it now, so we may as well. How much of television is really mundane, bullshit, boring stuff that people don't talk about because nobody really wants to hear it, but it's sitting and waiting.
I mean,
and script and lighting adjustments and stage, you know, you must stand here, then you must stand here. What do they call that? What do they call it when they
blocking? When you block, yes.
Right.
It's not. It's. TV is not the hour that you see me for. It's not the 30 minutes that you see on TV. You know, there's something called the call time. You get there at 9 o'clock in the morning, as if you're going in to work.
Horrible.
And you get there and you do the makeup and you do the suit fittings over and over till you get the colors at work and you go on to set and the lighting hits you with the different colors of suits. It's like, that doesn't work. Go change your shirt. That's strobing. People are going to break their eyes. You go back in there. But I study television. You know what I mean? So I come from a background that all of that excites me.
Right.
You know, all of that is exciting to me, something that I like. I mean, I produce televisions. I make television. So that whole process works for me, but it's a lot of stopping and waiting and looking at this. So by the time you go on there for an hour, you've been at work for 5-6 hours like everybody else.
And it's exhausting.
It is. You know, you get back home after a live show and people are like, why are you tired? I mean, you're there for an hour. No, lights are heavy. You're under those lights for hours. You know, it's just.
And that TV makeup, it looks great on television, but you can't wait to wash it off, right?
Oh, hell.
I mean, this is, guys never talk about this stuff in television because it's very unmasculine. Is that even a word? But you get off. I get off that idle set after we've been filming virtually the whole day with auditions, for example.
The audition process is grueling. That's the worst.
And I can't wait to scratch the stuff off my face because it starts getting like itchy and irritating.
Is there an advantage or disadvantage to when you get in to see the judges?
I don't think there is. I mean, if you come in earlier, then obviously we've got a little more energy. If you're one of the last contestants on the day, we just want to process you and get the hell out of there.
But it doesn't disadvantage me in any way.
No,
you're not too tired to hear me.
Because the director will say to us, you know, we've got a couple of really good people at the end, for example. And he'll save some good people for the end so that we've got a bit of, you know, interest in sticking around.
Hmm.
But usually by 5-6 o'clock and you've been there all day, you just want to clear out. It's like anybody in any job. If you work in a bank, you mentioned like you work in a bank or something if you weren't on TV. If you work in a bank, when that clock goes, man, you are thinking about home.
Go on. Find out.
Right. Yeah. Doesn't matter if you're in the middle of something. People want to get home. But look, I don't love television. You love it, clearly. You can hear from the sound of it. You see, what I don't like about it is all that setting up.
Mm.
It's the fact that it is actually, even reality TV is fake. You've got cameras on you all the time, so you're not entirely, even the most comfortable people in the world.
Mm.
You know, I watch these shows like the Kardashians.
I try not to.
I could never. No, I mean, I've seen one episode when I say I've watched it. But they're acting a lot of the time.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. It's, and I think when you know television, you can see the script. You know, you can see that this is a script that they're playing out. You know, and it's I could never do or watch reality TV, you know, because I've made reality TV. Mm-hmm. One of the first things I did in the industry when I got on as a student at AFTA, actually, with Mampo Brescia.
I remember her.
Yeah, you know, we got to travel the world for 6 months with Nokia, shooting with Mnet, shooting what was a pilot series to what The Amazing Races. But The Amazing Race was made with Nokia phones. There was a different phone for every task that you had to do. You know, 6 months on the road.
Remember Nokia? Isn't that a bit of a blast from the past? Nokia, they used to make phones, right?
They used to make really cool phones. You had to have a Nokia. Phones.
Do you remember those big ones that had a computer inside, basically?
Oh, dude.
Everybody wanted one of those. Now, if I gave you one of those for free, you'd throw it away, right?
And probably hurt someone in the process.
It cost like 10 grand or something at the time.
Yeah.
Those are expensive things.
Yeah. So, I mean, having made reality TV and having been a part of reality TV, I understand what it is. I understand it's still drama, you know, just with people's real names. You know, it's still a script that's written. It's still exactly the same thing. So, not my cup of coffee, but I respect the hustle and I understand it.
Did you go to – you were at Pretoria Technicon, right?
I started at Pretoria Technicon. I did language dynamics.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know. They said it was a bridging course to get to doing journalism, and to get onto television, you need to have done some journalism. So until we found out, there's something called AFTA. You know, there's just not enough knowledge for people that want to be on television out there. I mean, I went to a decent school. I had pretty learned.
But hang on. Didn't you go to like seven different schools?
Seven different primary schools.
Wow. Yeah, your parents didn't want you to settle down at all.
I appreciate it now, though. I appreciate it
now. What was that all about? Were you thrown out seven times?
No. It was like end of year, you're moving. I mean, it was a lot, you know, mom getting a divorce with dad.
Okay.
So go stay with family there.
They get divorced seven times from people. Your parents are busy, man. What an interesting family you got.
I appreciate it now. I speak six different languages. You know,
really? What do we got?
Black
Let's
language.
Go.
Shangaan, right?
Wow.
You know
look
what
at
mean?
You.
And so and I appreciate it.
And your English is spot on too. I don't want to sound like one of those white
it's
people. He speaks really good English.
I get asked that all the time. Where did you grow up? You know,
isn't
you speak
the most...
really well.
All right. What is the right response to that when some white person thinks they're giving you a compliment when they say that? Because it's actually
isn't it though?
Deeply patronizing.
I thought so too. I used to think so, but I realized it's not because what you're used to that you bump into every day is the lady that you work in at the you work with at the office. It's your helper in the house. Not everything is racist. Not everything is patronizing. Some things are just lack of knowledge. You know, there
ignorance,
are black people that speak better. There are black people that speak well. And it's okay. And also the flip side of that is you bump into a white person that can't speak Zulu. You know, the one in every 10 million that can.
Oh, that's true. And then everybody
and
goes,
you're also
oh,
like, wow.
You
exactly.
Speak, yeah, which actually shouldn't be extraordinary
because it's
probably one of the biggest languages in our country, if not
it is
the continent. So we should be able to learn these languages.
So it's not so patronizing. It's not a compliment, though.
Look, you're exactly right because I get people who say, oh, well, you can pronounce Norbe properly.
Do you know what I mean?
And then they're so impressed. And I go, well, really, I should have learned at least how to do that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, the day you can have
at least get the three
fluent
clicks
conversation.
Right.
Can you do the three clicks?
Oh, yeah. Let's go. We've got the Q is the
– okay.
Right? So that would be like no lean maholwana sang.
That's right.
Okay, and then we've got the X, which is in like kolisi or kolani. Any of
well
those.
Done.
And then you've got the, which is like you or Henry Tele.
Well done. Right. You got it. That's the three.
That's
clicks.
It.
That's the three.
Okay,
thank you know
God.
That and you can convince
I was very nervous.
Person.
There was some white sweat going on there.
Your Lamola will be halved.
So with seven different primary schools, was it a question of you moving around? Is that all it was? It was geography.
Yeah. It was literally moving around provinces. You know, it was the Eastern Cape, it was the KZN, it was three of them in Gauteng. But I mean, also, was integration of moving from black schools to white schools as well, because it was in that era, you know, the early 90s, the mid-90s, you know, where you could move from Tembisa Primary to, what was it, Littleton Primary in Old Verwoodland in Pretoria, you know, Braunschoene.
But, dude, I think that might have been quite a good thing.
It was a good thing, but it was also a scary thing to be part of the first crop, because the first crop of black kids
Model
that went to
C.
primary school to Model C schools was the 90s. And so I was part of that first crop where the first year, it's literally seven black kids in the school.
and you all know each other, and you all have to stick together.
You have to.
Because there's these white people, and they all look at you funny, right?
You have to. You absolutely have to. But I find that there wasn't a lot of... We didn't, because we're so young. We're all in primary school. Mm. You know, the kids there, they didn't know any different. You know, it's because racism and all that stuff is learned.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So when we got there, the white kids, you know, they were cool. They were cool. And as the years got on, it got worse. As the years, but I mean, I got there in what was then standard one. By the time I got to standard five, there was a lot more racism than when there was when I got there.
Why do you think that is?
Because it was learned culture. Because...
Because they go home and their parents.
Yeah, you get home and you're like, oh, these black people did this. You know, now you're getting to see how we live and how. Because I can tell you now, something as stupid as, and it's not okay. But you know, you go to the townships. You it's okay to stand in the corner and pull out your willy and have a pee.
Sure.
You know, by a tree there. It's okay. Yeah, black people, be mad at me, but it's okay for us. We do that. You know, when you
I got a secret for you. White people do it in their gardens all the time.
But
you
now,
just can't see them behind their high walls.
When you do it in primary school in the corner, then, you know, a little gamva decides to whip it out. It's like, holy crap, what is he doing?
Right. And then the headmaster's called and that kind of shit.
You know what I mean? And now you've got to talk to the black kids and gather them and say, guys, it's not okay. You're like, what the f-? You know what I mean? So it's learned. It's not something that you're born with.
I see what you mean. Yeah. How do you think, because looking around now, there's a lot of open hostility between races right now at the universities and things, which I'm finding kind of upsetting. I sort of don't want to really know what's going on, but I have to because I'm not one of those head in the sand kind of people.
Yeah.
But do you think that this is the result of, because a lot of people are saying that it's maybe because that whole idea of a rainbow nation was bullshit. And the whole idea of like mixing schools and getting people to get on with each other and learn about each other was a mistake. We should have had a full-on civil war and just try to kill each other. Because that's what a lot of people are saying, particularly on the far left or the far right. And I'm kind of disappointed that we don't have a better argument right now for why this stuff is going on.
I do think the Rainbow Nation thing was forced on us. And I think a lot of you that respected and loved Nelson Mandela, you know, you went with it because he was this idol and this, you know, this force. You know, it was okay. White people were thinking, okay, they want to have peace. There's a lot more of them. We don't want to get killed. So let's go with this and see where it goes. And a lot of the black people were saying, okay, if he says so, you know what I mean? Let's go with it. I do think it was forced. I think there needed to be a lot more dialogue, a lot more interaction, a lot more communication on it. And also, I've always felt there is no timeline or expiry date on those who've done you wrong. You know, there's a Zulu saying, says, umenzi akakhohlwa, he who does forgets, but he who is done to never forgets. And if it's done to me by you, you can't tell me when it's okay
when
to
I
be okay now.
It.
You know what I mean? You know, like, get over it. And that's the notion that's very popular right now. And so just get over it. You know, get over it. Yes, 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 my uncle, my forefathers, get over it. You can't tell me when to get over it. And that angers us. That angers me.
Sure.
To say, you know, there's an expiry date and come on guys, well, so long ago, let's get along, get over it. No, you know, just as much as you might be asking yourself, and it's a little unfair to say, how long do I carry this guilt for? You know, how long do you carry this guilt for? Nobody knows. And until we get to a point where, and it's getting further and further away from us, you know, there was supposed to be a generation that was supposed to be born, you know, free of all of this, but it's slipping further and further away.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. I mean, I'm really pleased, for example, I'm not at university now, because I think apart from the hard work that you have to do at university, just being a student, you now have so much other stuff to deal with.
Yeah.
And it's not fair, because this is an inherited legacy almost.
Yeah, but also it's populist politics, for instance.
Sure.
You know, where
the parties are getting involved on campus.
Like,
I'm sorry.
It's popular culture.
I actually didn't want to talk to you about this shit at all. I'm sorry.
But I'm glad you know you can take it there.
Yeah,
you know
of course.
What I mean?
Well,
I'm not
think,
just a pretty face.
I don't think
I'm
you're
smart,
some
okay.
dumb TV presenter. Because there used to be. You remember those Simunye presenters?
Simunye. Actually,
that?
It's funny. Robert Morau was one of them. Tapo Mabona, who's still in sports, was one of them
That's
as well.
That's true.
And I think they're the two that have actually lasted.
They're the only ones.
No, they're the only ones. I can't think of anybody else that still comes from that. Oh, hey, Claire.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Call me. Clemma Wissa, well, she was one.
She was one.
Listen,
of them,
she's doing carte blanche.
Oh, is it?
She's hardcore. She's done a couple of shows here, too. No, Claire is there. No flies on her.
I'd do Claire.
Yeah, she's a very good looking woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Claire. There's something about a smart woman, too.
Okay.
You don't like that?
I don't mind it. Look, depends what. I mean, if I'm trying to marry you, yeah. But if we're going to go,
if you're just going to have fun, then no, it's okay if you're dumb, right?
It's actually more fun if you're dumb.
Yeah, because you don't have any responsibilities. Yeah, I hear you.
It's a laugh.
You don't have to tell me. Is it true that you were in the Ajax Cape Town Football Academy?
Oh, man. I was picked to be. I was supposed to go. And I remember I was at Norcombe Park High School in Kempton Park at the time. And they had
sorry
a benefit
about that.
Game.
Yeah. Sure.
Wow. Parents' fault. Mm-hmm. And they had a benefit game where we played Crawford. It was also a fundraiser for me, and the school got on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was excited for it, and I was on my way to Ajax. And then I broke my leg on that day during that game.
Self-sabotage, dude. You could have been a major footballer. You know how much those guys earn?
Dude, I think about it all the time.
It's good money.
All the time.
You missed your big payday.
Dude.
Hell. And you know what?
I'd be
also,
it was 16
if only you'd broken your leg while you were in the team, you could spend 3-4 months earning money and sitting at home.
Yeah, but it was really bad. I broke my leg so bad I can't play every game.
How did that happen?
I thought I was a star, you know.
Were you trying to be Superman?
I was Superman. I really was.
What, did you jump off a roof?
No, during the game.
Oh, no.
It was actually
someone kick you
game.
Really
somebody
hard?
He really kicked me hard. Broke my tibula, my fibula.
Oh.
You know, it was shattered. I could see my bone type injury. I was in hospital for 3.5 months.
Is your one leg shorter than the other?
It is, actually.
Oh, okay.
It is. And I've got bow. Well, I used to have bow legs, so the one is straight because they can only fix it straight. So I walk with a bit of a bouncy swag.
You're like,
you walk so cool.
You're like the hunchback of Notre Dame. I wondered why you
hunchback
walked in here like
Kempton
that.
Hunchback of Kempton Park.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. All right, let's talk about some of the TV stuff that you've done because – that live show, for example, launched a lot of really interesting people. You mentioned Bonang earlier.
Yeah, I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
I'm proud of it. I mean, I was a presenter on a show called One that was produced by a guy called Suede and Tim Horwood.
I remember Suede.
Yeah, yeah. They were really the brains of a lot of things like Castle, Loud. They did Unati and Stone. And after that, they did One. And I was just a presenter on that. And SABC decided the show was shit. And they canned it. And I sat there. And Donnie Ferreira, who was...
Urban Brew, right?
Urban Brew at the time said to me, well, you don't have a job anymore. What are you going to do about it? You know, you're cool. You're young. Come up with something.
How old are you then?
I was 23.
Jeez.
And he said to me, I'm going to give you 3 months. I'm going to pay you for 3 months. You know, you can still use the office, the one office. Do something. And I came up with Live. And he was like, this is a great concept. Let's go to the SABC. We went there and we said, to replace One, we've got this. It's called Live. And I presented the whole thing and the SABC were like, dope. We
were you a producer of that show as well?
I was a producer. Well, after coming up with Live, I became the executive producer because this was my concept.
Did that mean you got executive producer money out of it?
I thought so at 23. Uh-oh. I thought so at 23 and, you know, I was like, no. And I was like, are we supposed to sign something where I'm part of the show? Mm-hmm. No, yeah, have a 10,000 res. Like, whoa! I was 23 years old and, you know, the show still plays now and I look at him like, wow, whatever. You know, like.
Damn, you should have producer money.
I should have producer money. I should have had a part of the show.
Damn right.
I should have had a part of
the show. I mean,
it was
your concept.
It was. And then we went out looking for a female co-host because my concept had, you know, a female co-host in mind. So I was like, okay, fine. Went looking, went through celebrities first. I had them all come on as guest presenters, and everybody. I mean, from Tammy Ngubeni to Kanyim Bao to Penny, Libyane, absolutely everyone came on to try out. And we found Bonang. And from then on, I mean, Tibo Touch came on, Sizwe Dlomo came on, Mini Dlamini came on, Nandi Mngoma tried.
For many of these people, it was the start of their careers.
It was
right?
The very start of their careers. It was the first show that most of them did.
They
minus
should,
Sizwe,
they should
everybody
all
else.
Give you a percentage of their money. Don't you think?
No, I love finding people and watching their career grow. I say to Bonang all the time that my reward is in what you guys are doing because I take it as part of my legacy. You know, to say this is what I did and this is what it did. You know?
They must have approached you at some point because everyone who's got ability in television eventually gets approached by top billing.
Oh,
did they ever ask
no.
you to do the show?
Didn't. I've never been white people enough.
You're kidding me.
You know, like you get Mabs, you get Katlego, you get Proverb,
you,
who
ever.
Are white people-ish. I've never been white people-ish. I'm not.
I don't understand that.
No, I can't do this walking down the stairs.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's a stupid job between you and me.
Would you do it?
No.
Often you wouldn't present.
No. I said to you earlier, I could not present a TV show. I'd be bad at it.
Actually, why have I never gotten the top billing
you
offer?
You should really have been offered at least.
Yeah,
you
I don't want to do
it
but
down.
I want the offer.
Sure. It's kind of rude that they didn't.
I'm actually going to bring it up with Bussy.
You should. Find out what her story is.
I want an offer. I don't want to do it. I wouldn't do it, but I want to be offered.
I think you might have been. Somla did. You might have brought a bit of edginess to it, actually.
Jimmy sure did it.
Yeah.
Who else? Those
Simba Mer.
Simba did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are three black guys that have done it.
Right.
Maps should. Well, he's not much of a presenter, actually. I take that back.
He's doing okay, though.
Yeah. He's a great model.
Yeah, he's a superb model. He's really everywhere. Model.
And he's a great dude.
Yeah.
And I'm friends with his dad.
You know who they are saying might be the next top billing presenter?
Who?
Don't laugh at this now. Maihlo Metwete. Wouldn't that be fun?
It would be.
No, all right, now tell me, because there was a lot of noise in the tabloids when you and Ayanda split up. I mean, give us the, now with the benefit of hindsight, a lot of people talked a lot of smack. Yeah. It must have annoyed you at the time.
Yeah.
Here's a chance.
Never spoken about this, by the way.
I'm sure you haven't.
Never on Twitter. Never said anything.
Why would you? Because
she came out a lot and fought a lot of things.
I mean, she said you were cheating.
Actually said not. She actually sent a tweet out saying he would never, I would never too.
Don't you hate the fact that your private life gets discussed by people you don't even know?
He says as he asks me the questions about it.
What do you mean?
I understand it.
I know you're allowed to.
I understand it. I understand that. Tabloids, I understand that, you know, gossip Twitter and all of that fuel what we do. They fuel the interest in Gareth, hence Gareth's show grew during the time when everybody was talking about Gareth. Hence stock grew when you know what I mean. I understand that the one lives with the other hand in hand. I get it. I completely get it. You invaded my home. You can't now ask me to F off. You know, you the one that brought you to me and your business. And I did. I mean, we put it out there. We were on Instagram together. We, you know, as much as we were enjoying the hashtag dream goals, hashtag I want to be there, this is what love looks like and all that crap.
Which, kind of what Boyty and Casper were doing.
You know what I mean? Ago, as much as you enjoy that.
Pictures you of them can't in a now, pool together.
Exactly. Now you can't. You know, be mad at the flip side of it. I understand it. I just don't feel it. I don't talk about it. I don't entertain it, but I understand it. I'm not going to be like, why are you talking about that?
But then why was it controversial? Because, I mean, was there a situation where either of you expected something that the other one didn't do?
I think it was a shock to most people. We've been married 2 years. It was what a lot of people thought was amazing, dream marriage. This is what we want. This is, you know, who can I think of? Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
Well, let's say Brad and Jennifer. Yeah.
That was my favorite.
That's about right. Okay.
You know, so it was a shock when out of the blue, because it was very out of the blue. And by the time people caught wind of it, it was 3 months later.
Yeah.
You know, and people were like, what? So I think it was a shock. And when you're not getting any information, because Ayanda's not saying anything and Andy is not saying anything, let's make up something. What do you think it is? Oh, this close friend says, that close friend says. So that's what it became.
Do you ever wonder, when they print these stories, who that close friend that they supposedly have, whether they make it up completely on their own, or if they actually have someone who's a friend of yours who's telling them stories.
I have not picked up a newspaper in probably 5, 6, 7 years. I didn't even read any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't bother you?
And I don't care.
Really?
No, I don't care. I used to. I remember when the first tabloid ever was Andy Lund Katlego Danke breakup. You know, and she was a huge star. She was in Generations at the
massive,
time.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just this little presenter, and that really hit me. It hit me hard because I drove around the corner on a Saturday evening from a club, and I saw the little poster board, you know, Ncube dumped like SH*T, and I was like, oh no! You know, I must buy every single newspaper in my neighborhood.
Your ego is damaged.
It takes a dive.
Right?
It takes a dive. And then there was Andy Liz Gay with Somizi. That hit me the worst.
Well, if you're going to be gay with anyone, Somizi's the
you
guy.
You know what I mean?
Right?
I need you.
Sure.
That really hit me for a six.
If I were going to ever come out with a boyfriend, it would have to be Somizi. Otherwise, it would be an embarrassment. But I mean, again, hearing things like that about yourself in the newspaper or walking into a place and people like, that it's just, if not hurtful, because sometimes it doesn't hurt. Sometimes it's just annoying.
Yeah.
Do you ever walk up to people who do that and say to them, hey, can I help you?
No.
Because that could be fun.
It could be. It would be. But I mean, they speak loud enough for you to hear them. I think that's why they do it. You know, you hear every single thing. You hear it. You hear the
whole conversation. I need your advice on something. When people come up to you for a photograph, because it must happen to you all the time.
Yeah.
Because they recognize you and you're buying a cake for your mom's birthday, something silly. They come up to you and they've got their phone. Now they want to take a picture. So you say, sure, go for a picture. And then their battery's too low, or they have the camera the wrong way around, so they've got it on selfie. then they want to take one.
And
portrait.
10 minutes later.
And they want to take one landscape.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, no, can I look? No, I don't look pretty. And they want to do another one with them facing the other way. Then they're on this side of you. What do you do? Because you can't be rude. You're in now. You have to stay the course, right?
I'm actually – I think I could be partly considered rude.
I've seen Somizi. He says, no. If your camera isn't ready, I'm out. And he walks away.
I think I could be considered partly rude as well. In that I stay for the one picture and I walk away immediately afterwards. So I stand and I smile and you go like, and then I walk away. I start walking before you go look at it, before you decide. But I mean, there are days when you stay for 30 minutes and you're okay with it. You know, there are days when you're okay and you're in a better mood and
I
you're waiting
missed the
anyway.
Flight.
What? That's drastic.
Everybody thinks that this fame thing, and I never want to be one of those people who complains about it because I've had a good time and I love what I do. But there was a woman and her child that wanted to take a picture. I was already late for the flight. I was rushing to the boarding gates. I knew TikTok, I was going to be in big trouble. This woman stops me with her kid. She's like, please, we want a picture. So I stopped. I said to her, can we please make it quick? I'm really not trying to be rude, but I'm going to miss this flight. She messes around exactly the way I described it now. I get to the boarding gate and they've closed the flight. So I had to go all the way back, buy another ticket. Now, she didn't need to know any of that. She didn't. But you have to sometimes do these things. And people don't get that part of it. They say, Gareth's this rude.
He's living it up.
This guy's such an arrogant. You know how they say these things about you?
Are you arrogant though, Gareth?
You tell me. Probably a little bit.
And it's allowed.
Well,
I am too.
Where's the line between – how do you define the difference between confidence and arrogance?
That's true.
How do you work it out?
I think as long as you're comfortable with what you're doing and you can sleep at night, as long as
– That's confidence.
You're happy
then?
With it. I think then that's confidence. I think it's arrogance to everybody else. It's confidence to you.
So you shouldn't actually give a shit what people
think. I don't.
Really?
I don't. I
admire
don't.
That.
I really don't. I mean, come on. Like, you've been, 20 years now? This is my 11th year. If I really cared about what everybody thought, and I would have chopped and changed who I am so many different times. And I think in the early years, you go through that because you feel like you owe everyone, you know, for making me this person I am. Like, you guys make me, and thank you so much. It's all about you. No, I need to take responsibility for a little bit part of it too. You know what I mean? I need to take a little bit of responsibility for what I've become to.
Yeah.
As much as, you know, every speech on the podium is the fans wouldn't be here without you, I would. I really would.
You just might be a little
different. I am truly grateful for your part in it too. But it's not all you.
I believe you.
It's not all you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, no.
Why does it say that you're married on your Facebook status? Or is that just
Holy
to frighten
crap.
People?
Crap.
You got to know these things.
I haven't been on Facebook in years.
Oh, so you haven't changed
no,
it?
No.
Are you telling me you haven't changed it since Ayanda?
Wow.
Yeah, I do my research.
Does it say married? Does it say married
it
to Ayanda?
It says you're married. It doesn't say to who.
Oh, I need to change that. I need to.
Are you single at
the
moment?
App.
What's going on?
I've been single now for the longest time since I've ever, like in my whole life. I've been single for exactly a year, a month.
Okay, because the last girlfriend was Rosette, right?
The last girlfriend was Rosette, yeah, then married to Ayanda.
Oh,
afterwards.
So that was before. Okay,
yeah,
I have my timelines wrong.
Yeah, so it was Rosette, and then married to Ayanda.
And then after Ayanda, you're just
it's
playing
been a
around.
Year. Yeah, it's been a year. Also, to replace the most beautiful woman the world has ever seen is a little tough.
It's nice that you say that
it's
about
a little.
Her.
No, she's amazing.
Well, you got a kid together.
With Rosette.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's.
Oh, you were talking about Ayanda when you said the most beautiful woman.
No, Rosette wishes.
Okay, but this, I mean, having a little daughter.
Yeah.
That's got to be a massive thing for anybody to deal with. I mean, I don't have kids. I don't feel responsible for my own life. It must be really, really difficult to actually be responsible for another person's life. Gee, frightens me.
I think the daughter is – I mean, that's – and I speak to her. Like, everybody tells you how amazing it is to have a child. No, it's not. It's the most difficult thing. It's the worst thing. It's horrible in every single way when you now need to think plus two, when you're thinking of just one and the decisions you're making need to. And I always say, mine don't. I don't make every decision thinking because somebody's like, oh, you've got something to live for. Yeah, me. Mm. You know, I have me to live for. Mm. I have me to be responsible to. You know, yes, I have a daughter and one day she'll live her life and she'll be responsible for her. I'd love to be the guide and offer her everything possible for her to get to where she's going mm-hmm. in life. But I don't take conventional parenting lines like that where it's me or you, like, oh God, it's everything is about you. No, I understand.
Are you very involved though?
Not as much as I'd like to. They live in Cape Town.
Sure. And I mean, it was complicated.
It was complicated at the beginning, and she's remarried now. And, you know, it's a little tough. You know, my mom, you know, God bless her soul, takes more of responsibility than what I do. You know, my mom is the one that will be like every day.
But you still have to cough up some cash, right?
Oh, hell, you don't have a choice.
Sure.
You don't have a choice. But, I mean, money is one thing. I mean, I'm not short of money, I'm pretty sure. You know, but it's the everything else that you want to give to them. You know, the money is secondary. I mean, we the way we are, we grew up and money was never really a part of how we became who we are. You know, so money is secondary to everything else that you want to embody in them, that you want them to become because of the lessons that you've taught them.
Do you think that being married and having had a child from a previous relationship and all of these things might make you a little bit jaded about relationships going forward?
Of course.
No, I'm letting you in gently because a lot of people oh no, no, they'll pretend that they don't. You know, I'm still open to anything. But actually, your doors start to shut down the passage, right?
Like it's narrow as hell. They do. But my marriage wasn't horrible.
Mm.
So it's something I can't wait to do again with the right person in a couple of years' time. The way I had a child was bad. And that's probably why that part of my life is something I'll think about a lot before I have another one. You know what I mean? And that's the narrowing. It's not anymore, oh, I can't wait, I want to know. It's not
this
down.
This kind of dumb, carefree life that you have when you imagine, you know, when you're 19 and you think, no. Oh, the world's my oyster.
No, parents lie to you firstly because they all tell you how, you know, their child is their everything. You know, and then you get in there thinking, oh, you know, much. No, it's
but you know
it's
why
really
they say
tough.
That? They say that because it's socially immoral to admit that your child isn't your everything.
I guess so.
Because people, there's so much pressure from society. If you don't go around, I love my child, it's just wonderful. No, they're not. A lot of the time they're monsters.
They really
but
are.
If you say that, they think you're a sociopath.
No, they really are. I tell my mom all the time, I don't think you like me much. You know, and I think I'm grown up enough for mom to say, I really don't. You know, I'm glad I've had to put up with you. Like, you know, she's had to put up with me. And it's not. It's not all roses. It's not all, you know, great, I can't wait to have another one. No, it's not. I can wait to have another one. I can wait a long time. If I never have another one, I'm okay with that.
So at the moment, there's nothing going on?
No.
It's just playing the field. I imagine you get a lot of action, though.
I should be.
You're not?
But when you come out of a marriage, Gareth, it takes
stop
a while.
Oh, stop moaning.
Like,
come on. You don't
it's get, like, buddy, come
you
on.
Don't, you don't get extremely horny and see beautiful girls and they want to be with you? Come on.
Yeah, but the thing is, then you think about the minute after you've busted that.
Yeah, and then you
and
feel
then
bad.
Then you look at her and then you're like, oh, can you disappear?
Get out of my house.
You know what I mean? Like, and then when you think about that, when you're
Uber.
On the way to pick her up. Uber her, yeah. When you're on the way to pick her up and you're like, oh, it's going to be great. Because you're conversating with her on the way there, all excited because you want to get her to in the mood and you want to get
the
easy
home,
ass.
You kind of politely send her like, hey, it was great to see you.
Oh.
You're like, eh.
So it's you, as much as you'd like to chase as much tail as you want, then you think about that.
It's work.
That when she's sleeping there next to you on your bed and she wants to cuddle and you're like, oh God, what's your name again? Please leave me alone. Please don't touch me. Please don't touch me. I'm going to go in the other room and watch TV because I don't want to wake you up, but I'm actually just going to go sleep there.
So do you have advice for women who are chasing famous men? Because there are a lot in this country. Of
you're
girls,
welcome.
Let's just say, let's just say girls.
Thank
who,
you in advance.
Because there are a lot of girls that either be after famous men or they'll be after men with a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a massive problem with like sugar daddies in this country. But what do you think those women need to know if they want to get ahead and really respect themselves?
I take nothing away from them, firstly. Mm. And I think relationships are difficult and are hard and are going to be painful regardless of who you're with.
Right.
So pick the one thing that you can really stand by. If you can really stand by money,
then
that's
go for
it,
right?
Then go for it.
Nothing
if
wrong.
If you can really stand by looks to say, you know what? It's a shitty relationship, but he's so great looking. I can stand by that.
Then go for it.
Go for it.
Right.
He's a superstar. He's famous. And that gives me something. Go for it. You know, because this marry for love thing is just as tough as this marry for money thing. It really is the same tough.
It's hard work.
Relationship is tough regardless of who you're with.
You know what they say? They say every girl wants a sugar daddy until daddy wants some sugar.
Exactly. You know, if you can stand to give daddy some sugar,
yeah,
go for it. You know what I mean? I mean, if it wasn't that, if it was love, Andile and Ayanda, who look perfect together and are two great-looking people, are supposed to go on forever. Nomzamo and Mabs are supposed to live forever. But trust me, they have problems.
Everybody,
just as much as you do.
There's no perfect relationship.
So go for whatever it is that makes you happy. If money truly makes you happy, and I do believe that there are people who money truly makes happy because they're happy to show it off to people and they're happy in moments. We're all happy in moments.
Mm.
So whatever it is that you can truly say to yourself, this makes me happy.
Right.
Go for it.
So what's a day in your life like at the moment? I mean, what sort of time do you wake up, or is it different every day?
No, it's the same every day.
Okay. Tell me how it goes.
And Monday to Friday, up at 10, 11, leave the house.
It's nice and late.
Yeah, leave the house at about 1 o'clock.
It's very
to
civilized.
Go to the office.
You know what time
in.
I wake up?
What time do you wake up?
Plus
but you got a 6 o'clock show. You got a breakfast show. So that's different. I used to have a breakfast show. I woke up at 5.
It's horrible. Why do you think I look the way I do? I should be a whole
Glad
lot.
Glad you said it.
I should be a whole lot better looking than I do. And it's because I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm actually 23. I just look 38.
No, so pop into the office between 11 and 4 o'clock, okay. Leave for the SABC on Radio 2000. I got my show there.
So how's that going, by the way? Are you having fun there?
I'm having fun. I do wish something could be done for that platform to be a bigger platform than what it is. And it's never going to happen.
It's always kind of been the stepchild of all the commercial radio portfolio because, you know, there's 5 in Metro and Good Hope, I suppose, you could count in there as well, even though they're a bit of a poor cousin. Yeah. But then they never know what to do with 2000.
And it's also a little bit hard to get any inconsistencies going because you are a facility radio station. So, you know, today I don't have a show because it's cricket. Tomorrow I don't have a show because it's football.
You've got to be kidding me.
You know what I mean?
That's got to break your spirit at some point.
It does.
You're like, do people really want to hear cricket commentary?
I didn't think so, but I do. I listen to cricket commentary when I'm on the road.
Well, you're good for you.
I listen to football when I'm on the road.
I would drive off the road and fall asleep.
So it's fun. So, you know, so I do understand it, but it's hard to build anything, a shop, when it's not open today. Oh, it's not open next week, Wednesday.
Okay, but now, hang on. So you're saying even though, you know, these shows, you might have something that replaces the show every couple of days or whatever, but your schedule sounds pretty set.
Yeah, yeah. I do that, I go home. You know, then the weekends, Saturday, Sunday, I do my sports shows on TV.
Right.
So Monday to Friday is my radio, Saturday, Sunday is my TV.
So you work 7 days a week?
7 days a week.
And everybody goes, oh, it must be so nice to be on Dealer because he doesn't
work. Yeah, I work 7 days a week, a minimum of 12 hours a day.
I love that. He's so lucky.
Yeah, and I love it. I don't complain about it. I can't complain about it, you know, because I do what I love. I do what I love every single day of my life, so it doesn't feel like a job.
What are we adding to the pile for 2016? Because you know in this business, I had Sophie Ndaba on, and she was telling me she has to do 20 different things. And Sophie Ndaba is probably our most successful actress, right? So if she – I think so. Come on.
I don't know if she's successful as an actress. I mean, but I think she's
successful
as a person.
She was the most well-known person in South African television.
She was on the biggest show on South African television.
You don't know, dispute this. Fuck you.
No, you know,
right.
I'm not disputing that. I had a conversation where a friend of mine, Akumzi Jezile, and I had a conversation about top 5 best entertainers of all time.
Yeah.
And
he said
Sophie, and I said, but why wouldn't you go Connie Ferguson over Sophie as an actor? Like, if you're talking about craft and acting.
Okay, fair enough. But Sophie is the more well-known person to everyone in South Africa. I guarantee.
And you don't think.
You could take Connie around to some places, and I don't think people would know who she is.
Everybody
knows Queen from Generations.
Gee whiz. Okay, I'm jaded then. I'm.
No, you're just
maybe wrong. Also I'm
just,
driven by my.
You're just wrong.
I'm
a
driven
Sophie
by,
fan.
You know, if I had to, Connie would.
Oh, you'd go for Connie?
All day, twice on Sundays.
Mm. Have you ever had a woman offer to pay you for sex?
Yeah.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
I haven't been that lucky.
No,
I don't think.
Come on.
I don't think payment is. I don't think that's such a blatant offer. Like, hey, I'll pay you for it. No, I think.
You ever had much older women come up to you and in
offer
compromising?
You
in compromising sort of conversations.
That's every day.
Really?
That's a lot of it. You know,
every day.
There's a lot of older women in their 30s and 40s who've done well for themselves who are divorced. You know, so they'll be like, hey, come in. You know, I've got this amazing thing I think you'd be a great part of.
And you get there?
Then the first 10 times you actually go because you think this is genuine.
And what then, happens? Tell me the scenario.
She's in nothing but just a shirt and I'm so tired, I'm from work, sorry, I look like this. And you're like, right, if your tits weren't by your navel, trust me.
But did you ever go there with any of these women? Come on, once or twice. Women. You like younger.
Yeah, I really do. I like firm tits.
Okay.
I really do. And I'm not a big fan of women with children, women with, you know, so.
Baggage.
Yeah, I don't. So, and I really do like younger girls.
All right. No, not unfortunately. You're being
honest. I would if it was Connie, like I said, I would if it was Jerry.
Run City.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Why do we all say that?
Because we can't help it.
We all say that. Who else? Yeah, that league of women that look like that.
Sure.
Like Jerry. Oh,
some
goodness.
Women do not age. Hey?
Kanye?
Even Kanye Mbao is. She's a very.
I'm thinking Kanye Lomo.
Oh, Kanye Lomo. Listen, she's a success, huh? And again, that success, that's what I'm talking about. When there's a powerful woman who's in charge of her destiny and she doesn't really need you, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Right.
In charge of her destiny.
Listen to us bonding over the MILFs. The MILFs we don't have.
Before we do end this,
yeah.
I must say, what you went through earlier this year.
Yeah, let's talk
about
it.
And being fired and all that. Go on. I tweeted after all was done and the ruling happened. I said, this is a victory for all of us. Because I genuinely feel like that.
Thank you.
I feel like you get fired on a whim. I feel like, you know, it's like, you know what? We don't need you anymore. You never even get an explanation why.
TV.
I hope that everybody that was looking at that can say, why was I replaced off that show? Let's have this conversation and let you prove that the reason it's not doing well is me.
Yeah.
You know, because you're firing me because you're saying the show is not doing well. You're not firing the producers that make the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we were... If you as an anchor, you as a presenter, you as the person in front of the camera are the reason a show can do well or not well, then surely you should be compensated in the same manner.
Correct.
If I make the show, I was shocked to see what was written as that you make.
Yeah.
When that amount of just under 400,000 came
out. Shocking, right?
Disgusting.
Right.
Disgusting. I'm sorry to say this.
You would turn your nose up at that.
I wouldn't take that.
Exactly. Why should I?
What?
After 11 years on a show.
It made me think, though. What did you get when you started? Because there has to be an annual increase of sorts.
They would give us a packet of chips and a can of Coke.
Obviously. What? That was disgusting.
But we know in television in this country, first of all, there isn't as much money as people think.
Bull.
No, as
Bull,
people
Garrett.
Think.
Bull.
Really?
Bull.
Tell me.
I mean, when you sit there as a producer, I get producer budgets all the time.
And
you know,
big.
From it's not big, it's not huge, but it's way more than what we give to our presenters, the faces of our show. This is the person that makes or breaks the show. You know, he said this.
It's time to koga.
I tweeted, therefore that's going to impact the show negatively because I tweeted. If I have that sort of power to make or break a show.
You should be paying me millions.
Come on. And you can't tell me there aren't millions. You can't tell me there aren't millions.
Well, they had 78 million votes in the last season. So
78 million votes, that's money that the show makes, that the channel makes.
That's
how
more,
much money
that's
is that?
That's more votes than were ever cast in any election.
78 million. Put that into rands and then tell me there's no money.
Right.
Bull crap.
Okay, I'm glad you're on my side on this
one. Bull crap.
But it was about corporate bullying.
Yeah.
It was about freedom of speech.
Yeah.
It was about me and a contract as well as all those complicated things. But at the same time, I'm pleased that it might have some kind of effect on the industry.
It really did. And I hope all those that are in it saw it for that and will take this fight forward. Do you know what I mean? I really do hope so. I really hope they looked at it and said, here's a victory for all of us. Let's change things. I mean, I'm fortunate enough, and there's a lot being said about him, but Saudi is pro his talent.
Mm.
You know, like
is he?
You literally can go and knock in his office.
Really?
Like I have when I was like, I'm not happy with this.
And he would sort it out for you?
And immediately.
Wow.
He says, who's your manager? Call.
I wish I knew everybody in there. When I was at the...
Get everybody in there
and
sort it out immediately.
Huh.
He is that kind of person. And I'm glad to be working under his tenure because he is that. For all the things he isn't, he's great for his
staff. You have been the first person in history to have said... Claudie is a good guy and he deserves that job. Ever. No, credit to him.
Well, I don't know him for what business is. Because, I mean, the business of television is bigger than television. But for what he is to the staff, to his on-air talent, you know, Claudie is a fan of his on-air talent, which is a great thing. because he says, I understand what you do, respect what you do.
By the way, the Generations cast are all coming to your house this afternoon with pitchforks and swords and pangas.
A lot of them are a bunch of idiots.
Really?
The 16? A lot of them are a bunch of idiots.
Well, listen, it's been good catching up with you. You've said it all. You've told us that you are only looking for a MILF if she's a very successful woman. Otherwise, you're interested in much younger girls.
Quote me on that!
You've got to change that Facebook married status, please. It's embarrassing. There's still people who take that as gospel.
Well, I mean, there's still people that go on Facebook, so it's okay.
There are a few.
Yeah.
There's a handful. You wish you could spend more time with your daughter.
I really do.
You've got a tremendously successful career under the belt, and you continue to do radio and television. It's easy for you.
Not easy, but respectfully, I don't want to use the word easy. It's not easy, but
it comes. You've got experience.
Yeah,
you've got experience.
Yeah, it's what radio isn't easy to you.
Mm-mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's what radio is to you. You have to work at it. Yeah.
But listen, you have done it all, and you're only 11 years in the industry.
Only.
It's a tremendous accomplishment to be where you are at this stage already, and we look forward to even more amazing things.
Can't wait for the journey.
Dude, thanks for the visit.
Well, thanks for having me. It's my first interview in literally 6-7 years.
Why? Because you're not controversial enough? Because you stay out of trouble, or you think that people don't...
Because I say, why? Like, can we talk why? I don't want to.
Oh, you refuse. You decline a lot of interviews.
Good for
you.
I don't want to do the covers.
Good that you decided to do this. Wasn't this fun?
It was, actually.
Right.
It was. I said, who's it with? I said, Gareth, and I'll do it.
Thank you. Undelenable.
It's Gareth.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Cool.
Appreciate it. CliffCentral.com.